Thank you, Steve. It is Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder.
Wendy, one of my friends from college has done very, very well for himself. David Cromer is here. One of those Tony Awards that all the kids are talking about for his work in The Band's Visit. We talked to you right after this, David.
Right.
I was so proud of you. It was the most incredible thing. To see you among the nominees was exciting. And I went, even if he doesn't win, he has his face up there with the other Best Director nominees. And then you won it. What was that moment like for you?
It was great. I wish I had a way like, but it was really important. It was great. Yeah. I loved it. Winning is much better than losing. It was great.
Amen.
It was really fun. It was a strange night because our show was, it wasn't an underdog. We were wildly well reviewed, and we had a lot of nominations. But it's not a wasn't a sort of a typical musical.
Yeah.
And there was a moment on the Tonys when there's a category for best book of a musical.
Yeah.
And a lot of the writing awards are given out during the commercials.
Yeah.
So
that's a bummer.
It's a bummer. Yeah. It's really strange. It's unfortunate, but best book of a musical was given during the broadcast because everyone was expecting Tina Fey to win. She wrote the book for Mean Girls, which is this monster success and is a wonderful show that's playing in New York. But everyone assumed, and they're going to be, Tina Fey's going to come on and she's going to give a brilliant acceptance speech and be hilarious. But we won it, and our guy, Edomar Moses, won the book, just was like, and then he had to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he's a brilliant guy, so we came up with something. But so like, and that was about midway through the show, so we went, oh, this might be going our way.
Yeah,
so,
and it
I don't
did.
Know. It was a.
But
it
is
was,
there
it was
when
great.
When you hear your name for something like that? Is there a moment of I almost want to say validation, but I don't know if that's the right word. Where you just go, boy, everything that I've dreamt could happen is happening in this moment. Were you thinking anything like that?
Yes, but I want to be. I always try to be really careful with myself. First of all, I'm a Midwesterner, so we always have to apologize and be slightly
how about it?
Slightly ashamed of any success.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know. It's better than the alternative.
I guess
people who go, yes, I deserve it. I'm the winner. I'm the best one. It's great. And you have to remember, you know, it's a great compliment. And if somebody says to you, if a friend says to you, boy, you really helped me that day, or you're a good friend, or anything like that, someone says, I really enjoyed that show. In bad times, you can look back and say, oh, well, I got that nice compliment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a compliment, and everybody loves a compliment.
Yep.
And it's good for business.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's good for business. Your price goes up and stuff like that. So it was great. My friends who were with me, Seth and Billy, at the moment they said my name, I didn't hear it because your ears go wah, wah,
sure.
At a moment like that. So I just said, do I have to go up there? And Seth said yes. And so that's when I got it. Did they say me or something? I said something dumb like that. So that was it was fun. I forgot we talked after that. Or
yeah,
before
we did.
That. I'm sorry.
Then
about
we
that.
Talked the next day after you won.
Yeah. Did I probably tell the same story?
No.
You didn't.
No, you did not.
You didn't at all.
No, you did not. Here's a quick question.
Yes.
I knew you in college. Mm-hmm. If you had taken a look at yourself at Columbia College all those years ago, would you have predicted the things that you've achieved? Would you have thought, yeah, that's realistic?
When I was that young, I think we all think that'll happen. And then there was a long period of time where I realized it wasn't, and then it started happening. So that was weird.
Yeah.
You know, that was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. It's strange to – ambition's a strange thing.
Ambition's
a really strange thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, you said you're proud of me. I'm proud of you. You're part of this is WGN Radio. I don't know if you know that.
I do know that.
You know what I mean? This is you know the cornerstone of Chicago.
Every day as I walk in, Wendy will tell you.
We're
you
both. It's fortunate. It's the pinnacle of radio.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about the new show, Next to Normal. What is this about, David?
Next to Normal is a musical that I'm directing at Writers Theater, which is out in Glencoe, which is a theater I've worked at for a long, long time, 25 years on and off in all their iterations. And Next to Normal is a one that Pulitzer Prize for Drama. It won a Tony Award for Best Musical, Best Score. It's this beautiful, soaring, almost completely sung through musical that's about a pretty heavy topic. So it's a drama. It's first, I want to say, you know, because I want to sell some tickets, it is beautiful. The music is just beautiful, and it just brings tears to your eyes on its own, in its own right. But it's a story about a suburban family, the Goodmans, and the mother, whose name is Diana, is we join them in the about 16 years into a diagnosis of bipolar disorder. So she has been struggling with bipolar disorder for several years. They have a teenage daughter. They've had kids, and it's a husband and a wife, and it is about the subject of the very important subject of people's mental health, and as we were discussing earlier,
yeah, we need to take it seriously and not stigmatize it.
Not stigmatize it at all, and talk. I mean, I'll say the thing I was saying earlier, which is I'm not curled up on the floor right now because of my 20 milligrams of fluoxetine every morning, which I'm happy to take because it gave me my life back, which is actually a line from the show. Not pushing drugs, but pushing talking about it and figuring it out. But in many ways, the show uses this struggle with illness in the larger sense about the idea that we are all facing at all times problems that evolve past our ability to solve them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We're always just trying to, okay, I've got this figured out and I'm lucky enough to have a team. I have my loved ones and we're going to solve this problem and we've got a plan and you have a plan and the problem just keeps the virus mutates, you know? And that struggle is just, it's just constant for everybody. And this musical takes that very private struggle and puts it in a room with a lot of people and shows you it warts and all. And that's what I love about it. I mean, I love to come back to Chicago to work.
Sure.
I love to be home.
This sounds great.
But the show is a beautiful, very heartbreaking exploration of a very difficult topic.
When you hear those words together, when you hear it's a musical about mental health,
yep.
what clicks in your brain that goes, I have to jump on this, I got to get involved?
The first thing that occurs to me is there's no good idea for a musical. So yeah. Every time you say it's a musical about the founding of the state of Oklahoma.
Yes.
Right. And you go, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But apparently, you know, it's a hip hop musical about Alexander Hamilton.
Right. Can't miss.
Can't miss. And it didn't.
Right.
So everything's a bad idea,
yeah.
First of all. a musical about a woman with bipolar disorder is a bad idea. I saw it in New York. I saw it on Broadway. I went into it blind.
Yeah.
So it was something that I had seen and loved. And it is a ride. It's a great ride. It is filled with some gut punches, some, weird to say, surprises. It is wildly ambitious and successful in its reach. So I loved it as a viewer, but I loved the production too.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't anything I said like, oh, I've got to direct this. Like it's a you read a play,
right.
Or you see a bad production of something,
mm-hmm.
then you want to say, "Well, I want to help this play. I want to direct it." Pompously, I say that.
Where's your Midwestern roots now?
Yeah, that's right. There was a moment. I'm getting a little New York-y. There was a moment during technical rehearsals for the show where I just said, like, we're all being a little too polite right now.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you need.
Yeah.
I loved the show. Michael Halberstam, who's the artistic director, who is my very close friend, and I talk all the time, and we talk about his theater and his season planning, and I'd seen Next to Normal. I never thought about directing it. And he just said, oh, we might do Next to Normal next season. And I said, I want to do it. And it came out of my mouth. And then, of course, I was stuck doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then I had to figure out how I was going to not just steal from Michael Greif's original production. So what drew me about it was that we were going to be the community we were going to be in. We were going to be out in Glencoe. And obviously people come from all over to go to Writers Theater. But, you know, it's a beautiful community where people have it pretty good.
So how do we get tickets? Somebody wants to know, what's this called again? It's Next to Normal.
Next to Normal. Oh, the phone number is what?
We'll get that.
I should know that.
It looks like 847-242-6000.
That's it.
Yeah? That sounds right.
Are you a psychic?
I just picked that at random. Am I right on that?
That's amazing.
And can I just very briefly read this text? Saw the band's visit last year in New York, the week before the Tonys, one of the most beautiful shows I've ever seen, a little jewel. We laughed, we cried, we cheered, loved it. We were so happy watching the Tonys.
Oh, thank you.
A little jewel is nice the grocery store next
to
the theater.
A little jewel. You go to the Big Jewel or the Little Jewel. It depends on whether you also want those sugar cookies with the really thick frosting. And the band's visit will be here at the national tour. We'll be here. God, I sound like one of those guys.
No, you want people to come and see it. You can push it.
We'll be here at the Cadillac Palace in Chicago on the first national tour.
Oh, how exciting! David Cromer is here. My friend David Cromer. Our successful friend David Cromer is here.
With my successful.
You know him
friend
from the Little Jewel next to the theater.
That's right.
More
Do
after
you need
this.
Anything from the Little Jewel? I'll run.
It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Can you tell me what it is you're afraid of? Can you tell me why?
David Cromer's here. Yeah, the Tony Award winning David Cromer. That's the one, yes. Is this a song, David, from Next to Normal?
This is, yeah.
What's going on when this song is part of the show?
This song is the character of Diana Goodman has. Is that what's happened to her? She has gone off her medication. Mm-hmm. She has decided that her experience with the medication, the enormous amount of medication she was on, was hurting her, was mm-hmm. making her feel like her head was filled with cement. She sings actually a very beautiful song, so that's complicated gray area about it, called I Miss the Mountains, about wanting to feel again. So she goes off her medication without support from her doctor, and she then has kind of a meltdown, and that's part of a very long, really beautiful scene in which her husband says to her, listen, I know this is hard. And she says, you know this is hard. And she sings this amazing song called You Don't Know About What It Feels Like to have everything seem like it's black and white.
Yeah.
And to not feel anything and to feel so heavy and so crushed and to not feel like herself. And he sings that song back to her saying, can you just, okay, tell me. I don't know. Tell me. And there's part of him that's also saying, I'm suffering too because this is difficult for them.
Yeah.
But he's also saying, you know, just tell me what this thing is because, you know, and I said in support of my medication and in support of I'm not just here to push pills. I'm saying that medication sometimes doesn't work.
Right.
In this case, it's these people who love each other, sort of screaming at each other, just trying to find a way to get their hands on the problem, to understand what the problem is. And it is, so it's a struggle all the way through, which I know doesn't sound fun. I never describe my shows. Everything about next, the band's visit is about loneliness. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is about how hard everything is. But
a lot of people can relate to this.
Yeah, yeah. And the experience of, someone asked me the other day, I was speaking to a student and they said, and I was yammering half answers the way I always do, and she finally said, what would you like audiences to think or to understand? And it came out of my mouth very quickly. I was very proud of it, so that's why I'm patting myself on the back in my new New York ego. You're not the only one who feels like this.
You might be the only one who admits it, though. A lot of people keep it under the rug. We need to get it out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And somehow that it's a weakness, that it's shame, that you're supposed to just be able to, you know, suck it up and get it together. There's also the idea that they had. I mean, this show also addresses the idea she may have been misdiagnosed. The medication she was on was of no help to her at that point in the show. And so what do we do next? And then they're always in. After that scene, they try. That scene leads to them trying a new plan, and the problem evolves past that, and a new plan, and a new plan. But I will say the show is filled with hope, ends with an enormous amount of hope, ends with people making changes and people understanding some things. You know what I mean? So it isn't just, and then it gets worse and worse and worse, and then it's 9 hours long, and it gets sadder until eventually everyone just falls asleep.
David, what do you think the subject matter of shows like this or Dear Evan Hansen, where there it's a deeper subject matter than the old days? Mm-hmm. Why do you think there's more acceptance for shows like this now?
I think or hope it's because the fluffier entertainment, escapist entertainment. Well, there's always been a tension between escapist entertainment, which is I love to escape as much or more than the next person.
Yeah.
So I love something joyous and beautiful, you know, and soaring and silly. But I think that there's always been room in the theater for more serious subject matter because we have entertainment venues that are more accessible, like television and streaming and things like that, for the fun, you know?
Right.
So there's always, and you know, and there's always this, the serious stuff doesn't occupy the same financial footprint as the other stuff.
Right.
It just simply doesn't.
Yeah.
But it's, I think it has a tendency to endure longer. Dear Evan Hansen is an example of something that is the exception that proves the rule, mm-hmm. you know, which is that it's, but you know, that also traffics in, that show traffics in, you know, something that is wonderful to hear, which is, you know, well, you're not invisible.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so these are all beautiful things. You know, everybody needs. Yeah. Well, I didn't really answer your question, but
email me.
Yeah.
Send me a note.
Somebody texted. There's a song about medication in Next to Normal that I think is so relatable to everyone. So.
Oh, the song about medication. Well, there's probably a lot of songs about medication. Do they mean my psychopharmacologist and I?
They have not specified, but your first med is not necessarily your best med, and it's kind of trial and error.
Right.
I am looking forward to seeing this. Congratulations. It's nice to meet you in the flesh, Mr. Midwest.
Thank you guys for having me on.
I said this before. I can't say it enough. I'm so proud of what you've achieved. I mean, we all knew you'd be walking around the halls of Columbia College, and we'd all go, there's something about this guy. He's going to hit it huge. And you did. You hit it huge. We're all thrilled for you.
Thank you.
Wow. It's called Next to Normal, and it runs at the Writers Theater in Glencoe. You can go to writerstheater.org. I thought I should say it like that.
Yes.
Writerstheater.org.
That's how it needs to be said. David, thanks a ton. Come back soon, please.
Oh, I will.
Congrats.
Thanks for having me.
It's David Cromer, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.